Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York on this Valentine's Day. Thanks for joining us. 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486 is the number if you'd like to talk to us live. Of course, you can hit us up in our chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, if you have a Valentine who doesn't care that you watch 100 hours of wrestling a week, you owe them something special tonight. And if you're lucky enough to have a Valentine that not only doesn't care that you watch 100 hours of wrestling a week, but watches it with you, then tonight should be SmackDown and Chill night, shouldn't it? Order in. Anyway, folks, the crux of the show today will be discussing whether NXT has actually resigned itself to the fact that they are going to be the number two program on a Wednesday night. And I think there's a lot of evidence that points to the fact that they are doing that very thing. And that Vince McMahon, who ultimately runs it, has decided that since the new TV deal with AEW was signed, it was not able to derail their television deal, that they just do what they do. Whatever numbers they pull in, they pull in. I think to a large extent, the actual competition, the actual can we one up AEW is over for the NXT. And they have just become complacent to say, we're going to put on the show we want to put on. The people who want to watch it are going to watch it. The people who are going to watch AEW is going to watch AEW. It feels that way anyway. So let's first talk a little bit about the ratings, because the ratings are in, and once again, AEW won. And again, now they've won when this is the go-home show to a major event, a takeover event that's happening on Sunday. So you would think if there was any time that NXT was going to win, was going to pull away some of the fans from AEW, this would have been the Wednesday it happened. And in truth, AEW was down. AEW did about 817,000, down probably 100,000, which is a considerable drop. However, NXT was not the benefit of those that drop, because NXT still did about 757,000. That's closer. NXT usually loses by about 100,000 viewers. This week they lost by about 50,000 to 55,000. But that extra 45,000 did not tune in to NXT, because NXT's ratings were just about where they normally are, right in the 750,000 range, which means the vast majority of fans who did not this week watch AEW also did not watch NXT. And this isn't really a good sign for NXT, because it means there is no interest in crossover fans. In other words, we don't have a lot of fans saying, oh, well, you know, it's a big event this week on NXT, I think I'll just watch AEW on repeat. I'll DVR AEW and I'll watch NXT live. It's not happening. Even when AEW is down as much as 100,000, NXT does not pick up any real ratings, not even 20 or 30,000. So that extra 100,000 just isn't tuning in. They're not interested in the product. Or at least conceivably they aren't. Otherwise, I don't know what else they would do except watch it. I mean, you're always going to have the people who say, look, I couldn't tune in this Wednesday to any television show. I get that. But there should have been at least a marginal boost in NXT's viewership this week. Even if they didn't win, there should have been a marginal boost. When you see one go down and the other stay flat, they're not picking up any of their viewers that AEW dropped. And at this point, I don't think truthfully, that NXT really cares. I think they've resigned themselves to saying we're going to do what we're going to do. And that's pretty much what they did this week. They did what they were going to do. And let's be very, very honest. NXT has set a very high standard for themselves. Extraordinarily high. And their takeovers have always been better than WWE product. And most of the time, their actual television shows have been better than WWE's television shows. But this one was not what I would call one that lived up to that standard by any stretch of the imagination. Now, on Dynamite, we saw a new champion crowned. Nyla Rose defeated Rio for the women's title. This is after Rio had all kinds of trouble and missed some shows, and this is probably the right move because this wasn't working so hot. We saw the debut of Jeff Cobb, who's wrestled in Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground, as a part of Jericho's crew, I guess. Saw Jon Moxley beat Santana. Saw the Inner Circle beat down Moxley. And Chris Jericho, obviously, called down Cobb. So, I mean, we had Kenny Omega, Hangman Page retain their tag team championships against the SCU. Dustin Rhodes defeated Sammy Guevara. MJF defeated Jungle Boy. It was a solid enough show. Scooby-Doo was in the audience. It was a solid enough show. And it had a lot of interesting branches on trees. So here's what I did this week, folks. I had two friends who aren't huge wrestling fans. They know what wrestling is. They've watched it once or twice with me. They don't follow it. They have never seen AEW. And they have never seen NXT. So I had one friend watch AEW and one friend watch NXT. And I asked them, what is your likelihood, based on what you saw, that you would be interested enough to watch another episode, not being a huge wrestling fan? And the results was actually pretty staggering. The person I had watching NXT said, it's a solid enough show. It doesn't interest me. Good athletes. There was some fun stuff, but, I'm just not into it. Person who watched AEW literally texted me during AEW asking me, who is this person? Is this person really hurt? Why is this person wearing an eye patch? What's going on with this person? By the end of the show, they wrote me and said, this was really interesting. I'm kind of interested in what's going to happen. That's a very telling sign, folks. That's the best test I could do. One said, good show, decent athletes. Not likely to watch it again because nobody caught me. Person who's watching AEW said, I'm actually interested in some of these storylines. Who is this person? Why is this person doing this? What's going on with that? Oh, I know who that guy is. That's Jericho. I don't know, man. My little test here, and again, it's not very scientific, but it's pretty apropos. My little test says AEW is gaining that fan interest from people who don't normally watch the product. If they can get their eyes on that product, that person's likely to say, maybe I'll watch the next episode. Whereas if NXT gets their eyes on the product, the person might say, I was decent, but nah, I'm not, there's no cliffhanger. There's nothing I'm really too interested in seeing. And this is with a go-home show, Mike. So I thought this was a especially interesting result.
It was a especially interesting result. I'll just say one thing about the Riho thing. They could, if she would be there, if she didn't have a packed schedule, and they could play her like a Daniel Bryan. She smile.
Yep.
She shouldn't win, but she does. She can get the fans into her. I mean, they could if she didn't have such a packed schedule. She wants to go back home to Japan and all that stuff. and do what she's going to do. Okay, let her. But if she didn't want to do that, if they could get her to come in and not do that, they could have something with her.
Well, she's very talented. It's just that they've been having some problems, and they've been having some problems with the women's division in general. And I think that Brandi Rhodes has basically announced that that Dark Order thing is done. Now, I want people listening to me to understand something very, very clearly. For all the differences between WWE product, which includes NXT, and AEW, the single most important one lies within that revelation. And I'll tell you why. Because I highly doubted, based upon what I know from the WWE, I highly doubted that Cody Rhodes and company would cut an angle off at the knees that was obviously bad, obviously not working, and obviously not interesting to fans if it involved one of their own because of their ego. So I figured we're going to get force-fed this Dark Order, whether we like it or not, because it's Brandi Rhodes' deal. It's her bag. It's her gimmick. And Cody's not cutting it off at the knees. Not happening. Wrong. And this is a very positive sign, because this means they have the business acumen to override their ego. In other words, they don't say, well, you know, fans aren't taken to it, but it's good. It's just the fans. They don't understand. Don't worry about the fans. They'll dig it eventually. Just keep going. We like it. It's good. You're good. We know what we're doing. They don't know. They're not writers. They don't know what's good. We'll catch them. No. They actually say, well, I don't know. We've given it a good shot, and this ain't working. So irregardless to who is running this angle, it's on to the next thing. Now, that is a very, very positive sign for AEW going forward, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. If it was WWE doing it, they would probably shove that down our throats. You're going to like that, and you're going to eat it. Like something you don't like, they're going to make you eat it either way.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because their philosophy is, what do the fans know? It's good. We're professionals. We know what's good, and this is good. If you're too stupid to understand it's good, you'll come around to it eventually. AEW's not doing that. They're not doing that. And it makes a big difference. And if you're going to tell me you're now going to add Luke Harper, Brody Lee, whatever he's going to call himself, potentially you're going to add Matt Hardy, because the Matt Hardy thing that happened on Raw sounds like the goodbye to me. And if we can judge by any tweets, Matt Hardy actually said goodbye on one of his tweets, to which some people on AEW responded, you say goodbye, we say hello. What does that mean? So you may be getting Matt Hardy, who, by the way, we didn't discuss all that much on the last episode, did a really good job with the microphone, not doing his yes, Woken thing, which can be annoying to me. I know a lot of fans like it. I've always thought it was annoying. But just using the mic, and I said, you know, where's this Matt Hardy been? Where the hell has this Matt Hardy been? This is the Matt Hardy fans actually bought into. This is the Matt Hardy that fans want to see. And now he's on his way out the door, and they're letting him do it. He'll be a big acquisition. And he got himself in really good shape again. Brody Lee, another great acquisition. You're letting AEW get a major, major foothold. And I think it's a problem. But I think the main problem is the WWE's inability to police themselves the way that AEW seems to be able to. It's very, very hard for any kind of a performer to create something and then realize your fan base doesn't like it and just say, okay, never mind. you know, you always have that favorite band who puts out an album who you don't like that album. And they say, well, I don't know, but I think it's my best album. And I don't know, what do you know? You're not a musician. Well, but, you know, it's the same way with wrestling. And to have the ability to say, okay, didn't like that, no problem, we'll stop that and we'll give you more of what you want, is about the most positive sign I have seen in AEW since they started, Mike.
It really is. And look, it shouldn't surprise you that they did this, because remember on the what happened on the first episode of AEW? There was a point at which I believe Cody was going to get beat up by some people and nobody came out to save him. Well, they corrected it the next episode. You know,
right.
So that should have told you something about this whole thing, that they're willing to correct themselves and cut things short or add things to things that that the WWE, for instance, this whole line thing, they're keeping, the WWE should be cutting it short, but they're keeping it going for some reason, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you why it surprised me a little bit, Mike, is because when Cody Rhodes was doing Stardust, it was working. Fans loved it. He knew the fans loved it. Fans were going crazy for it. And he said, I hate it. I don't want to do it. And I said to myself, well, that's ego. I mean, if you're doing something that you clearly see is working, you clearly see the fans are buying into, and you say, no, 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 I'm petitioning to go back to playing Cody Rhodes. If I don't do it, I'm not re-signing. It made me think he's got that stubbornness of, no, I want to do what I want to do regardless of what the fans want. And that's what made me think he might carry that over to AEW. But I guess when it's actually his money on the line, when it's his federation, then opinions change.
And, yeah, opinions do change. And think about this. I've been seeing all over the internet that one, Vince hasn't been showing up at SmackDown, and he's very rarely been showing up at Raw, you know.
Right.
So, and it appears that he's taking a step back because maybe he wants to actually focus on the XFL for a while.
Yeah.
So that means that if he's doing that, then who's going to be in charge? Is it going to be Bruce Prichard? Is it going to be Triple H? Is it going to be Stephanie? Could we possibly see a step forward by Shane? I don't know, you know.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the coming weeks here, especially if ratings drop or whatever ends up happening. Over on NXT, I think they had some issues. Now, I have read some people's responses to NXT. And again, this is the go-home show for TakeOver Portland. And yes, it had Adam Cole beating Kushida, right? Yeah, Adam Cole beat Kushida, and then Tommaso Ciampa confronted him, which was good. Johnny Gargano won his match against Cameron Grimes. Bianca Belair beat Santana Garrett. Dakota Kai beat Candice LeRae. The main thing was Leo Rush, Angel Garza. To me, that was fantastic. Roderick Strong beat Bronson Reed and then got called out by Velveteen Dream. Look, the problem I had, I guess, the main problem with NXT was their use of Pete Dunne with in this tag team with the guy who I like to call Kenal Reeves, because I'm totally getting tired of this. I'm totally getting tired of this. And I knew that this partnership might drag down Pete Dunne. I knew it. I knew it might drag down Pete Dunne. Because he's not the guy that's built for this nonsense. He's just not. And I really don't think that's the way you want to use them. But apparently it is. So I wasn't too happy with that. As far as how the show went, I guess it went okay. But NXT this week reminded me so much of a typical WWE show that's maybe turned up a notch or two. The formatting, the way they put matches together that were like, well, you know, Cameron Grimes is not winning. Well, you know, this person's not winning. You know, these are warm-up matches for the TakeOver show. And okay, now that he's going to come out and confront him. It felt very WWE. And that was, you know, usually NXT doesn't feel that way. Usually NXT has that real unique feel to it. Now you combine that with Matt Riddle running around doing the comedy stuff of losing his car and taking a boat and hiding in the, it was just, it left me kind of cold. And I said, if this is the best you can do as a go home show, I think it fell short. Even if the ratings were exactly the same, AEW won this by a landslide. With the one exception of Lio Rush, who, listen, Lio Rush may be the biggest pain in the ass in the world. And it, quite frankly, he probably is. Because I find it very hard to believe that a whole handful of wrestlers, I mean, a whole bag of wrestlers are saying what a pain in the ass he is if he's not. So he probably is. But he's extraordinarily talented. He's very good on the mic. He can put a match together like, you know, few can. And him and Angel Garza are magic together. Because Angel Garza, once again, if there is one person, in my opinion, that is a blue chipper for the WWE or NXT, it is Angel Garza. Every single time he's on camera, I say to myself, this is exactly what wrestling's supposed to be. He gets it. He gets the psychology. He gets the mannerisms. He has great promos. And he puts it together in the ring. And when you put him with a guy like Lio Rush, who basically does the same thing, you know, you got something good. So I'll watch Angel Garza, Lio Rush all night. And that was certainly better than anything that happened on AEW. But that's one match. That's not the show. And the show, NXT, caught no one. Again, my friend who watched NXT said, yeah, a couple of them guys are like, whoa, man. Those are great athletes. I mean, wow. I was very impressed. Very impressed. But would I watch it again? You know, this is, you know, I liked it when there was Hogan and, you know, the Warrior and those times. There's no characters. I like them characters. I didn't see any. Person who watches AEW didn't even get through the episode before they're texting me saying, who is this person? Why is this person, really hurt? Does this person really have an eye injury? Why is this person doing this to this person? They're already caught. 20 minutes into the show, they're caught. They're caught up in the storylines. Granted, it's not the same person, so it's hard to judge. You know, maybe one's a little more skeptical than the other, but next week I'm going to have them reverse it. I'm going to have the person who watched AEW watch NXT and vice versa. See what happens there. But I think that it's very, very obvious, Mike, that AEW won this week as far as who was the better show.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, here's the deal. Yeah, you're talking about why does this guy have this eye injury? Why does this other guy have this other eye injury? This other guy have the same injury and all that stuff. And with that, I think at some point they can't just allow you got – how many people do you have with Jericho? 4, 5, 6, 7 people?
Yeah, and a few now.
And it's just Moxley by himself. You're going to have to put somebody with Moxley. At least try to even the sides up against. Yeah, you want Moxley versus Jericho by themselves, but until you get to that point, you're going to have to put somebody with Moxley to just to even the sides up against because he can only fight one or two people at a time, you know?
I know, yeah. It is getting to be a little ridiculous with how many people are in Jericho's inner circle and then, you know, how in the hell is John Moxley supposed to fight off all of these people? It's not possible. That's very true. and now they've added. I mean, I don't know if is Cobb actually officially a member, or is he just like a hired gun? I don't know. But next week we're going to see Cobb against Moxley, and this is going to be Cobb's first match in AEW. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes down. And they're building up Jack Swagger and Dustin Rhodes, right? Think about that for a minute. If you're a WWE fan, I want you to think about that. WWE has both guys, had both guys. If they advertise Jack Swagger is going to fight Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, you'd have been like, okay, well, what's that going to do? Open Raw, you know? That'll be a six-minute match, and Goldust will get a few punches in, and they'll fight outside the ring for a minute, and then they'll give him the clothesline, and they'll give him a couple of things, and they'll finish him off, and that'll be it. Ho-hum. What's the main event this week, you know? That's what your interest level would have been. AEW has now pushed this to the point where there are a lot of fans saying, can't wait to see that match. Can't wait to see a match that WWE could have given you 100 times. 100 times if they wanted to. And now all of a sudden you can't wait to see it. You can't wait to see Jon Moxley versus Jericho. Dean Ambrose could have fought Jericho any number of times. They're rehashing WWE matches, but making them interesting. What makes them interesting when they're the same people? Well, the storyline makes it interesting, which is what I was trying to explain to people from the day I started this radio show. It's not about the people. You can make them interesting. It's about the storylines leading up to the matches with those people. The same people right now that you're saying, oh, they're boring. I don't like that person. In the hands of the right promoter, the right booker, you could be salivating. Can't wait to see this match. Because that's how it goes. If you're the booker, and you're the writers, your job is to get this done. Make sure everything's interesting. You're the one in control. It's not necessarily the people. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. I watched a very, very interesting interview with a very famous man who I'm sure everybody knows, whether you're 14 or you're 114, Alfred Hitchcock, the famous director. And he said, controversially, actors are overrated. Give me an actor. I don't care who he is. Set him by a window. I'm gonna have the cameraman looking through the window, and we see the man smiling. Just a nice, warm smile. And then I send that actor home. And I show that what he was looking at outside the window is a woman getting out of a car with a little baby, kissing her baby on her forehead, putting him in the walker, and away he goes. What implication did I give you? Well, this is a nice man who enjoys the family, and he probably loves children, and he's a nice guy. How about if I show somebody just ran over a dog? And then I show that same smile that this actor didn't even know what he was smiling from. The implication is he's an evil bastard who enjoys other people's misery or seeing things die. It's the same actor. It's the same emotion. I did that, not the actor. See how that works? Well, it's the same way with wrestlers. You have to make the story happen. They have the ability to pull off that story. They have the athletic capacity to pull off that story, but you got to make the story. And you got to fill it with honest emotion, and you got to fill it with something that's going to catch that audience. Because if you don't, it's just that actor smiling at a window and you never see what he's smiling at, and nobody cares. AEW is doing a far better job of that, Mike, than NXT.
They really are. Like I said, if she didn't have a packed schedule, they've really built Riho into kind of a female Daniel Bryan. You know, a gal that shouldn't be winning, but because, and if you do enough to her, they're going to cheer her. They're going to cheer her all the time, you know? And that's something that the WWE has stopped doing. Yeah, you got Daniel Bryan there, but they could be doing that same thing with other people, and they refuse to do that. I mean, you know, what's his name got over with the I've Got Kids thing, and they stopped doing that too, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah, they cut it off.
Yep. And we see what's happening with Lana and the whole, every time you see her, it, be it in the ring or whatever, what does the crowd do? What does the crowd do?
Yeah. Well, I found out a little more about that, and I guess what's really happening here is that Rusev and the WWE are hung up on contract issues with money or whatever, and it's very possible that he's not going to sign. Now, I don't think they want Rusev going to AEW. He sure as hell can't use Rusev, but you can't stop the fans from chanting Rusev Day. What are you going to do? You can't stop fans from chanting whatever they want to chant, so they're still going to do it. Now, he'll probably re-sign, but until then, what they're doing is they're kind of keeping him off TV. He's supposed to be in the Saudi Arabia show. We'll see. We'll see by then if the contract is signed. Anyway, for some people who may not know it, Cedric Alexander tweeted, frustrated is an understatement about his squash loss to Angel Garza. And for the benefit of people who don't know, he is married to Big Swole from AEW. Now, you do a lot with Cedric Alexander. We were one of the first people to say, you know, Cedric Alexander in the right position on a card and the right buildup could be somebody big. And they've chosen to do absolutely nothing with him. Now, this is something that Vince McMahon apparently just doesn't care for Cedric Alexander. He sees no money in him. Paul Heyman had a pitch for a big push. Apparently it was shot down by Vince McMahon. So, you know, when his contract is up, wouldn't be surprised if he joined his wife. So if you're an AEW fan, you can rejoice here a little bit because they're pulling all of the right moves. All of the right moves. They have stumbled. AEW has stumbled 3 or 4 times since getting on television. But every single time they righted the ship, every single time they said, uh-oh, there was a blind alley. Uh-oh, there's a mistake. Uh-oh, fans ain't digging this. Oh, we never should have done that. And they corrected it. That is the sign of people who are putting fans above ego, and that is invaluable. Because Vince McMahon and company, and that includes Triple H, will not do that. They absolutely refuse. They're like, no, that was a good angle. I don't care if you don't like it. It's brilliant, and we're doing it, and too bad. We know what we're doing here, folks. We don't need your advice. We've been doing this a long time. We know how to run a wrestling show. You just sit and watch. That's their attitude. And you see what it's getting them. AEW is not too far away from being able to give WWE a little bit of a run for their money. They need names, but they're about to get a couple. If they get Matt Hardy, that's a pretty big name. Luke Harper's not a tremendously big name, but fans know who he is. There's rumors of some other people leaving who might want to go. They're probably going to get the Revival. They're not a big name, but fans know who they are. But eventually, my point is, you start to say, I recognize those people. See, the person I had watching AEW didn't recognize anybody except for Chris Jericho. Didn't even recognize Moxley because they weren't a fan when Dean Ambrose and The Shield were around. So they didn't know who Moxley was, but they knew who Jericho was. And that made them interested in who Moxley was. Well, why is he wearing the eye patch? What happened to him? What's going on with Jericho? What's the little group he's got? Who's that guy they introduced? That's what's called catching you, catching the audience. Having something happen each week that if this is the first time you tuned in, you're likely to tune in again. You know who worries about that tremendously? Television shows. Every time you watch an episode of your favorite drama, your favorite primetime drama, I promise you that in the writing room, writers are saying, we're going to have new people watching this show for the first time. How do we catch new viewers in this episode? Where's the spot that catches the new viewers? It should be near the beginning, right near the, you know, or just after the beginning, that will catch viewers and make them want to tune in next week. Maybe they didn't see season one. Maybe they didn't see episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe they're joining us late. So how do we catch them? WWE does no such thing. They just plod on and just say, okay, well, tough. You catch up to speed. It's not our fault. AEW puts a little something in there. Now, this is why they gave Jericho the huge, huge, huge amount of money. People were yelling and saying, oh, why is Jericho getting all that kind of money? He's not really that good. This is why they gave it to him. Because people like my friend can say, oh, I know that guy. And because you know that guy, you're interested in, oh, well, what is he doing here? Who's the guy he's blabbering to? What's this group he's got? Now, if that person knew none of those people, I think they might have said, well, I mean, there was some interesting stuff, but I don't know anybody. So it's good to catch them with at least one thing. Now, NXT Portland will probably be fantastic. I have no doubt that their takeovers are always fantastic. I have yet to see NXT stumble with a takeover. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, and we'll be discussing it all on Sunday. But this TV show was not. My friend don't know who Pete Dunne is. Now he thinks Pete Dunne is just some jerk who hangs around with a guy like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He don't understand who Pete Dunne is. How did that help Pete Dunne? If this is the first time you've seen Pete Dunne, what's your impression of Pete Dunne? There's room for comedy and wrestling, but there's certain people who shouldn't be in it. This is the important things that WWE is doing wrong. Todd, what was your opinion on this NXT show? I think AEW clearly won the night.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they won the ratings war this past week, and they won the night. And that Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle doing that cold guy from a Fast Times Richmond High. I just don't like it. I don't like him.
Yeah, it's a cross between that and Dude Where's My Car. It's just I don't like Matt Riddle. I'm sorry, I just don't like him. He can be as much of a UFC fighter and have credibility as he wants to. This is called professional wrestling. His gimmick is dumb. It's annoying. And I don't think he's particularly fantastic in the ring. See, we're having a very dangerous thing happen, I think, in professional wrestling, which is worrying me. And that is everybody who's ever competed in a UFC fight and got punched once hard enough to say, Jesus Christ, that hurt, is saying, I think I'm going to go be a wrestler. I'm not going to get injured that much. I'll be more of a glamorous star than I am in UFC. My career will be a hell of a lot longer. And I'll make just as much money. Now we say here, John Jones, I want to go to the WWE. Here's the thing, and I think Roman Reigns said it best. Roman Reigns, by the way, every single day is becoming more and more and more the face of the company and saying the right things at the right time. Because where some people are saying, oh my God, come on with all these UFC guys, they don't know what the hell they're doing. Roman Reigns said, I would feel very comfortable in the ring with John Jones. You know, he's a tremendous athlete. I'm sure he can learn very quickly. But he also said this, wrestling is different. We're not just fighting to see who wins. We're not fighting to see who wins. We're fighting for the fans. That's not really done in UFC. You're fighting to see who wins and the fans come to watch. In wrestling, you're fighting for the fans. Now, I haven't heard a wrestler make that point in a long time, and it's a point that I've made on this show time and time and time again. There is nothing to win in professional wrestling. Your job is to entertain the fans. He made that point. And he said, I'm sure he can catch on very quickly. I'm sure if he's dedicated and he really wants to be a wrestler, that he'll work out fine. Now, some other people anonymously said, not going to happen. I'm getting tired of all these guys who think they have legitimate fighting skills coming in and think they can do what we do. It's not true. It's a totally different art form. It's a totally different thing, and it doesn't transcribe one to the other automatically that you can be good at it. And we're sick of it. We don't want to see the Gypsy King. We don't want to see John Jones. We don't want to see, UFC fighters. We don't want the WWE to become fake UFC, which I warned everybody that's the hell way it's going to go if you continue this. All credibility, no personality. Now, some people will say, well, Matt Riddle's got a personality. Yeah, he does. It's a really, really, really annoying personality that would have been great if it was 1984. But it's not. So are we going to see Cain Velasquez and John Jones and Brock Lesnar and Matt Riddle and all these people from the UFC? They're all just going to come flying over here and say, I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to worry about look. I don't need to worry about personality. I got credibility. I'm a real fighter. Well, then go back to real fighting, because that's not what this is. This is the equivalent of some guy who dresses like, he's going to go work in the garden, say, well, I'm going to join Slipknot or Kiss or King Diamond, and I'm going to be their guitar player because, to be honest with you, I'm a better guitar player than who they have. Well, maybe you are. But if you think you're climbing on stage looking like that, you're nuts. The fans won't accept it, and they shouldn't, because it's a show. See, that's the thing. Wrestling is starting to not become a show now. It's starting to become who has credibility, who can get it done in the ring, and that's fine. But there's something to be said about the entertainment value of wrestling and wrestlers who are entertaining. AEW has a little bit of both, see. And because they have that, and they're willing to listen to the fans and say, there's a portion of our fans who want to see this, we'll give it to them. There's a portion of our fans who want to see that, we'll give it to them. A good amount of our fans don't want to see this no more. Scratch that. Everybody remember the old SpongeBob episode where he rips his pants and everybody laughs, and then he pretends to drown and he's like, rip your pants? Yes. Pretend to drown? No. Crosses that out. Well, that's what AEW's doing, This Brandi Rhodes angle? No, forget it. We'll do something else. Wrap it up. We gave it a shot. It didn't work. Let's go for something else. And you know what? They'll eventually strike something that works with her. They eventually will. Because every single person in that company, in the WWE too, and in any other company really, if given the proper push and the proper gimmick, they will work. You think Triple H would be where he was today if he was still bowing as the blue blood and coming out with a ruffled shirt? No. Think Mean Mark Callis would have ever been in the WWE Hall of Fame as the Texas Hangman? No. Maybe the Rockers should still be around, right? Still doing tag teaming like the Rock and Roll Express, and they'd be a nostalgia act, and you wouldn't have had a Shawn Michaels, right? Maybe Steve Austin should still be doing the Hollywood Blondes. You have to adapt. You have to say, this isn't working, let's go for something else. When you see it's not working. AEW has proven to me now, I've given them enough time. And they've proven to me they're willing to adapt. The WWE has not proven to me they're willing to adapt. And I'm more fearful of NXT becoming WWE-like than I am AEW taking over the number one spot, you know, on Wednesday. Because if NXT stays true to itself, I don't care. You still have the fans who like that better, myself included. But if they change and they just become another WWE, we're doing things WWE style now, all of a sudden, I don't want to see that from NXT, Mike, because then it just becomes another chapter in the WWE book.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't want to see that either because, I mean, look, if you look at I don't think they're doing that with NXT UK. I mean, NXT UK is basically staying true to itself, you know, and they're not doing that with them. Yeah, they brought people over from NXT UK, but ultimately those guys go back at some point and they go back to NXT UK. And you're right. They want to see the truth of themselves. And basically, I think that's what's happening is that right now AEW is staying true to itself. Now my thing is, will this thing with Charlotte Flair lead to anything, lead to her getting the belt or keep her happy? I don't know. If it doesn't lead to anything, then she's going to remain unhappy, and she's going to be another name that maybe under Flair that would go to AEW, and they're going to say, people are going to go, oh, I know her.
Well, trust me when I tell you this. The WWE will hold Andretti over her head. They will throw a ton of money at her. Charlotte Flair will not go anywhere, and I'll tell you why she won't. Because they will throw all the money in God's green earth after her. They will play off her dad. They will give her dad a long-term, more long-term contract than his Legends contract. They will give the world on a silver platter to Andrade. They will bow sideways and backwards to keep her, because I'm telling you, if they lose Charlotte Flair, that's the final piece of the puzzle to the women's division that AEW would be frothing at the mouth to get. And they can't afford it. They can't afford to lose them. She is one of the people. I'm not a big fan, but she's one of the people they can't afford to lose. Absolutely cannot afford to lose her. And they know that. The Flairs and the Rhodes, oh my God. Oh my God. Please. All that legend coming back into, there's no way. And you know Andretti would follow her as soon as he could. So yeah, no. She won't go because they'll throw so much money at her that it'll be ridiculous. Speaking of which, Becky Lynch, yeah, maybe in character, maybe not, kind of indicated that she should be making more money than anybody in the Federation because she's the draw. She said, I look out in the audience and I see nothing but man T-shirts. I see, you know, I presume that I'm the one of the main reasons they came. How come I'm not making as much money as, you know, the top guys? I don't know if she's being serious. Or she's just playing that off, you know. But I do know this. You should be paid according to your drawing power, male or female. So if you can prove to me, if you can show me that Becky Lynch is making less money than, oh, I don't know, let's say Bobby Roode, then that's wrong. Because Bobby Roode is not drawing people. Now, if she's making less money than Dolph Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler is also not drawing people, but Dolph Ziggler has been there forever. And so he's worked his way up to a certain, you know, you can't start at a place and say, I'm a very valuable employee after 2 years. I should be making more than the guy who's been here 20 years. That's not true either. But yeah, I mean, if she's making less than Bobby Roode, or she's making less than a Bobby Lashley, she's got a good argument. A really good argument. And everybody goes to Brock Lesnar and says, well, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't even work and he gets the money. Throw Brock Lesnar out of the equation because it's a total aberration what he's getting paid. I don't agree with it, but it's a total aberration what he's getting paid. It does not represent the normal work rate equals monetary compensation. It doesn't. But I would argue, yeah, I mean, she should be getting paid approximately the same as, Seth Rollins is. But I think she is, to be honest. I think her and Seth are making about the same. Maybe she might even be making a little more. I heard Seth Rollins was only like in the $300,000, $400,000 range, so he's a little underpaid. But that's probably because of his long-term contract hadn't come up. He'll be making Roman Reigns money. But arguably, Becky Lynch should be too. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Becky Lynch is unhappy. I just think maybe a little bit of this is hype. But it was worth mentioning that she did happen to say that in a recent interview. So this week, I'm going to give AEW an A-. I think there was an awful lot of good stuff here. And while not everything caught me, here's the thing. You're never going to watch a show where you say, I'm interested in every angle. I'm interested in every character. Everything they did was perfect. You don't even do that when you watch Game of Thrones or you watch whatever. There are certain side stories you're like, well, this isn't really what I'm interested in. It's part of it, but that's not why I'm really watching. That's fine. That's fine. As long as it's not egregiously horrible, then you can't complain. It's just not your main interest, but as long as it's not horrible. I saw nothing horrible in AEW this week. So A- goes to AEW, and as far as NXT, I'm going to hold them to a higher standard because you had TakeOver Portland coming up. And while you did an okay job of building it with Gargano and Ciampa and Adam Cole and, Finn Balor, I get it. You know, those are the main things. It felt very WWE buildup for a pay-per-view to me and not NXT buildup, put it that way. And for that reason, I'm going to give them a B-. Mike, what's your thoughts on both shows this week?
You know what? I gotta give AEW a flat A, you know, and I'm gonna give a C+ for NXT. And it's sad to say because most of the time it's in a B range for NXT, maybe even A- range at times, you know.
Yeah.
And this is probably the lowest grade I've given an NXT go home show in a while. So yeah, and as far as AEW goes, yeah, it was a pretty good show, and I can guarantee you that if Cedric Alexander does end up going there, that's another guy that people are gonna say, I know that guy.
Yeah, or at least a guy that they're gonna come to know because he can light it up. Todd, what's your ratings this week?
I gotta go the same grade with you.
All right, so listen, NXT's been around a while. They're going to put on a great Portland takeover. I know they are. And we're going to be on the radio, you know, discussing it, saying, wow, did you see that? Because it's become the norm. But that doesn't mean you can be lazy in your go-home show. And even if you don't want to compete with AEW, even if you've given up and said, look, we're just going to put on the show we want to put on. It's not about winning individual weeks. It's just about us doing our thing and increasing our brand, and that's fine. But you still got to make sure that you are uniquely promoting your brand and not just falling back into the old lazy routines that WWE does. Because if you do that, you're going to lose fans. You're not going to gain them. You're going to lose them. You know, I watched NXT first this week like I always do. But I found myself switching over because I had somebody on my text saying, who is this person? What's going on here? What's going on? It made me interested. And then, you know, it's no big loss if I watch AEW first and then NXT afterwards. I could do that. But it just goes to show you where my interest level has changed. And you don't want that. WWE does not want that, believe me. And the pieces of the puzzle, you got a big summer coming up, and you got pieces of the puzzle falling together here. If you got a Matt Hardy coming in, if you got a Revival coming in, if you've got a Brody Lee coming in, if you've got potentially Cedric Alexander thinking about coming in, and maybe you know, a few other names. I don't know, man. They're really just like one huge name away from being, from blowing some people away. It would have to be a really huge name. But I mean, let's just throw something out there. What would happen if Rollins and Lynch went? Huge. I mean, that's it, right? That's game over. NXT won't be able to compete. Hell, WWE might not be able to. Or what happens if Andrade and Charlotte went? Well, that might not have the same huge effect as far as Andrade is concerned. He's not there yet, but Charlotte is. And that's going to make their women's division special. And that's huge. What happens if a guy like Bray Wyatt went? What happens if a guy like, you know, even Randy Orton would be huge? Orton's not going anywhere now because he signed a long-term contract. But there's a lot of guys who could go. And now NXT guys are even saying, I don't want to go to the WWE. Maybe they're just going to go straight over to AEW. See, that's another thing. There's now some NXT people who are unhappy. So we'll see where this goes. Now, as far as the actual matchups one-on-one, what was the best match out of all the shows? Angel Garza versus Lio Rush by a huge amount. Was the best match of the night. But Mike, that doesn't always mean that's the best show just because you have the best match.
Right. It's in total. You know, think about it. Everything throughout the night was AEW built to something. You know?
Right.
Yeah. The single matches may have not been as good, but it built to something. You know, you had that women's match with what's her name, with Riho and stuff, and she lost, and of course, you know why that was. But you also had the beatdown at the end with Jon Moxley. You know,
yep.
You had Dustin Rhodes challenge, and we probably know where that's going. They're not going to want Jack Swagger to lose his first feud. So Jack Swagger is going to win that feud, probably. But
probably, yeah.
I guarantee you, the way Dustin is wrestling right now, it puts doubts in your head, because at 55 years old,
amazing.
He looks like he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, amazing. When Dustin Rhodes writes a book on what to eat, I'll read it. Okay, because you're obviously doing something right. 90
seconds.
The thing I guess that worries me the most, and it doesn't worry me, that surprises me the most, though, is when the Velveteen Dream returned last week, I said that's going to be a big piece to the puzzle. He's a very popular character. They got a huge storyline involving him. That's going to draw fans and say, oh, man, Velveteen Dream came back. I got to watch some NXT. It didn't happen. His draw was not, and as a matter of fact, they didn't get any more viewers. They didn't get any more viewers.
60 seconds.
So now you have to question, is Velveteen Dream a big draw? I guess not. It's just weird. And with Vince McMahon, like you said, kind of his head out of the game, you're getting these, you know, other ideas coming in. We'll see what ends up happening. Some people said Vince should step aside. If Vince steps aside, it'll be a lot better. Well, Vince has stepped aside. I'm not seeing it get better. Raw was a disaster, with a few exceptions. We'll see what SmackDown is tonight. But NXT's TakeOver Go Home show was not what I think it should have been. at least not to the standards they set for themselves. And remember, they set these standards themselves. And I think they fell short of it. And I think it's very poor character development when you put a guy like Pete Dunne with a guy like Matt Riddle and you expect what? I know you want to do an odd couple thing. I get it. You've done it before. I get it. But that's a WWE move. So we'll see where this goes. Anyway, folks, enjoy your Valentine's Day. Enjoy SmackDown. And we will see you on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.